Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex, Justin, and Pete.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Boothman Pride.
Boothman Pride.
Oh, my God.
That's right. I stand where I want.
Yeah. For you guys listening at home, you're going to love the visual bits that we're going to be doing this show.
This isn't a bit. This is reality. I'm standing on the left of Alex, and I'm usually in the middle.
I don't think you guys understand how alarming this is right now.
Exactly. You've gotten too comfortable. You've gotten too complacent.
This is very upsetting. I don't know how to relate. Like, Pete, this is fine. This is good. There's nothing weird blocking me right now. Jesus Christ. Oh, shit. Oh, that was fucking scary.
Yeah.
Well, listen, here's the thing. It's the three of us tonight. That's it.
No guest.
We're going solo. We have, once a quarter, we have our business check-in. This is our business meeting.
It's a meeting. It's a comic book club. This is like the secret.
And when you
part.
Say once a quarter, you mean, unfortunately, sometimes guests have to cancel, and then we do this.
No, right? That's not what happened
that's
here.
Not what we, no. We don't own up to that at all. That's not true. We talk through our business reports. We talk through profits.
Yep.
We come up with ideas.
We don't have a lot of time to spend on that because there's not a lot of those, so that's great.
Very excited to hang out with you guys, interview, find out what's up with you. I feel like we never hang out.
No, I know. It's great to check in.
Wait, do you guys hang out?
Yeah, we hang out every Saturday for the whole 24 hours.
Oh, wow.
24 hours. That's even sleep.
24 hours on Saturday and all day on Tuesday, but that's it.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's right, all day.
Not at all.
Well, who do you hang out with?
A lot of people.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay.
Could you introduce us?
Yeah, sure. Audience, Alex and Justin.
That's cool. Great to meet you all. I can't believe you spend so much time with Pete and still come here.
Pete, did you want to make an announcement or something, sir?
Well, I wanted to do one of our Patreon supporters. It's her birthday today, so Luana, happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
That's very nice. Should we sing the Comic Book Club happy birthday song?
Yes, definitely. Sure, sure. We've agreed on this before.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, happy birthday from Comic Book Club. There you go.
Yeah.
And honestly, I know that sounded like pretty mediocre, but we rehearsed that for a very long time.
Yeah. All Saturday.
All Saturday.
All right, guys. I'm very excited about the guests that we have on the show. Yeah. They're nobody.
Nobody. Great. That was the right amount of applause.
Yep. Justin, how are you doing?
Pretty good. God, I was just standing up there and we were talking. It was fun how I scared you.
Yeah. That's good. Do you like to scare people? Is that something you're working on?
Let me be honest. I really do. It's a weird thing. One time I was traveling and I was in Scotland at this hostel that was like in a castle and sort of haunt scary. And we were all walking around and I like ran ahead of everybody and I hid in the darkness.
Yeah.
And then I had a stick and I ran it down people's backs when they walked past.
Wait, what?
And it was to scare them.
No, that escalated really.
I know. And honestly, it was like a real high. Scaring people. Like it makes me nervous when I'm about to pull a prank on someone or scare someone in a way that I haven't gotten nervous from like doing a show in years.
Wow. What about you, Pete? What makes you nervous?
There's a lot of things that make me nervous, but I'm glad that your kid is okay. You were texting us. Madigan took a fall.
So, yeah, let's get real.
Yeah. This will be fun. Let's talk about this.
Let's get out. So I was out last week because my daughter fell and broke her collarbone, and she's like less than three, so that was like crazy, and it was broken in a way that was like, oh God, that is far apart for bones when they break.
Man.
And then the doctor's like, oh no, it's going to heal by itself. We were like, Bodies are crazy.
Yeah. We were actually recording podcasts all Saturday.
Yeah.
And over at Justin's place, and she was hobbling around with her little sling, and it was super
wasn't
cute.
Hobbling. She was all right. I mean, she was.
No, she just walks normally. She's a small like a child, person, yeah. So they hobble. My computer cord was from my laptop because we were watching an episode of American Gods, so we could recap it. And she got caught in the cord and kept spinning around. And I was like, "Well, here we go. I just killed Justin's child."
But instead, she looked at you like, "Get your cord out of the fucking way."
she said that completely clearly, and it was absolutely wonderful.
Her first words were, "Get the fucking cord out."
Speaking of which, we should probably get to this fucking stack.
Yes. Oh, huh? Cool.
All right. Yeah. This is time for our next section called the stack. There we go. Okay. I know.
Here we go.
Works. Woo! In the stack, we're just going to talk about a bunch of comic books.
Yeah.
This is a loose show we're doing here.
It's fun. Let's cut loose. That's why we're free. We don't have to be here about someone's little project.
Yeah, what are you working on?
What did you have? What did you do great. Today?
Was it really
What's
hard?
Your Twitter handle?
I mean, come on. I mean, that's usually pretty interesting and kind of cool.
Is it?
Yeah, it's really interesting, and it's cool how they're, like, working in comic
They're
books.
Living their dream.
What did you do? Cool. Did you write on a computer?
Yeah, that's
if they're right.
That's
I mean.
Technically all that you do for your job.
Oh,
all right, buddy.
Slam.
Oh, I'm not the interview subject here.
Well, it seems like
if you don't, I've noticed Pete's often goes off script in interviews. So you just got Pete'd.
All right, fair enough. Let's kick it off with this first book, Justice League number 20 from DC Comics.
Yeah.
So the Justice League has been going on this insane adventure through the multiverse. The multiverse is dying. They're trying to save it by repairing the source wall or something like that.
Yeah.
And so most of the Justice League goes to this idyllic utopian future. Surprise, not everything good in utopia.
Surprise.
Yeah,
surprise. No. What are you thinking about this book so far, Justin?
Every issue is a different aspect of the story, and it's a big story. And I've liked it. This one, you sort of see coming that the nice people are bad people.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're way too happy.
They're too happy, yeah. And whenever someone's too happy, you have to knock them down a peg. Right, Pete?
That's how I live my life. But I think that what was great about here is Batman was kind of the curmudgeon where he was just like, it's
yeah,
too
which
bright.
Was new. Big twist.
Yeah. He was like, it's too bright in here. I don't feel comfortable.
Yeah, they show Gotham City and it's like sunny there, which yeah. When they showed that, I was like, it is funny how Gotham City is never, there's never a nice day in Gotham.
Right. It's always night.
But that's not realistic.
No. I wish
Seattle.
In general.
Yeah.
It's not London. Nice. Everybody here, by the way, is from Seattle. So
I know.
Just leave
really
alone.
Grim.
They're all sitting on their coffee, throwing their fish back and forth.
Howard Schultz, obviously, in the crowd tonight.
Yeah. Thank you for coming. Please don't run for president. Okay. Moving on to our next issue, Next Gen number 2 from Marvel Comics. This is part of what's going on in the X-Men books, where all of the X-Men have been sent to Utopia.
And I'll tell you what, there might be something up with this utopia.
A little bit.
Stinks.
Utopias aren't what they're supposed
would
to be.
Would you, let's say there was a utopia, like, you could write a utopia teller is like, well, this is a utopia and everything's fine.
Like a legit utopia.
Right. Would there be any way of having drama in a utopia where it isn't the utopia itself that's actually a dystopia?
You just have to figure out the stakes. Like, if it's a perfect world, but, like, everyone's salad order gets fucked up, then just have to really make that dramatic.
Yeah,
wait,
the salad order gets fucked
world,
up.
Why is somebody eating salad?
Okay, here we go.
I mean, that's a good
wow.
point.
Slow clap.
Okay, cool.
Slow clap.
Meatheads in the crowd really going nuts over this.
Well, the way their salad order gets fucked up is everybody gets a bacon cheeseburger. They're like, well, this is better.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's
that's the resolution.
It gets better.
Rising action. Oh no, I got a bacon cheeseburger. Resolution. Oh, this is delicious. Yeah.
Has there been a utopia in comics that is just going ongoing?
I don't think so.
It's always
It always falls apart. What does that say about society?
Holy shit, I've never thought about that.
Yeah, there you go. We're really making you think this show. Moving on to
Thor.
Did we talk about it?
Do you guys like this event? Man, the guests really stabilized this show. No guests all of a sudden are like, comics, what are they?
I don't know what we're doing right now.
I know, it's because I'm on your fucking left.
It's fucking me up.
It feels like you're the guest.
I am the guest.
Yeah.
I am the guest. Follow me on Twitter at JT Sizzle. That's what a guest does. Guest. So in this event, a bunch of the X-Men are in this utopian world. But have you guys been reading this? Have you guys been liking this?
Which one is Next Gen again? This is
this
one
is the kids.
It's the see-through guy.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is pretty good. I mean, all of these are, I think, much more solid and enjoyable than I was expecting with the concept. Like, we were just making fun of the whole utopia of it all. But they're all well-written, and they're all well-drawn, and the characters are good. And I do like the flashes throughout of, like, there are people who know this is wrong. They are aware of this wrong. They just don't know how to get out of it at this point.
Well, because, yeah, and my issue with it, like in Age of Apocalypse, sort of a dystopia, you knew they were always...
Great job there.
Yeah. The opposite of that.
Oh.
You knew the whole time what was what their goal was. And this feels like it's a bit adrift. Across all of these books, it's a bit adrift, and we don't know. Like, it's time to get to the thing where they fight and win.
Yeah, I think they will. And how long... We had Jordan D. White, who's the editor of the X-Men books, on the show a couple of weeks ago, back mm-hmm. when we had guests, and he talked about the X-Men.
That shit is done.
Yeah, we're done at this point. It's just this from now on for the next 13 years. What do they have, like 3 more months left? 4 more months left?
Yeah,
like
it goes on for a while.
Yeah.
Well, what did you think of the announcement this week of Jonathan Hickman going on, taking over these two new X books?
I mean, that'll be great. Also, ooh. They just...
Well, I don't like the tone in which you said great, you like my that. Friend.
No, that'll be great. He's writing 2 books called House of X and Powers of X. We don't know exactly what they're about yet. But I feel like they just relaunched the X-Men.
Yeah.
Not I feel like. They did just relaunch the X-Men just a couple of months ago. So for them to be like, and now here's our big relaunch, feels... I don't know. Why didn't you start with that? Why didn't you keep
maybe
it?
Maybe he was a little busy.
I don't know.
What about you guys in the crowd? Are you guys excited for this Hickman X-Men takeover?
Wow.
Ice
Jesus.
Cold.
Ice cold.
Over there, Howard Schultz going, no, I am not.
Yeah, exactly. And he's a huge Hickman head.
Yeah.
That's one of his main tenets of his platform.
Yeah, the only thing he can talk cohesively about at all is Pax Romana.
Oh, I love it. I'm here for it. I love Jonathan Hickman, and I'm the teaser image had a lot of X-Men, Claremont X-Men stuff, and I'm very curious to see how they weave, like, Lalandra back into this whole thing.
Right.
I feel like Hickman's going to do just, like, a multi-year run that is going to be just massive.
It feels to me like when Grant Morrison took over the X-Men, I'm sure that's what they're going for, and new X-Men... was mixed by the end. It went a little off the rails by the end of Grant Morrison's run, but for most of it, it really was transformative in terms of the X-Men. Yeah. So, yeah, I hope they go for it. How are you feeling about it, Pete?
Well, Hickman can sometimes be too complicated for my tastes. I'm a little worried, but, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm kind of scared.
You're scared.
You're scared.
You are. You look scared.
Yeah. For those of you listening at home to the podcast, Pete is literally like curled into a tiny little ball.
It's
right
like
now.
Someone just ran a stick down your back from the dark.
No!
Which I'm going to. I'm going to do that to you someday.
If you do that, you're going to get a punch in the face.
I'm going to find a... I don't know how your schedule works, but I'm going to find it, and I'm going to just do that to you one day in the next month. Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Yeah. Not Saturday, though.
See what happens.
Not on Saturday.
We're busy all day.
That's Jalik's day.
You might want to give your wife a heads up. Like, hey, we're going to have to go back to the hospital.
Back to the hospital? Yeah. Interesting.
Cool. Let's move on to another Marvel comic book, Thor number 11. We're about to kick off the War of the Realms, which is the big event that Jason Aaron has been building to for years and years now, where, as you can probably tell from the title, all of the... evil in the Asgardian realms, led by Malekith, is coming to Earth and going to attack all of Earth. That's a pretty big deal. We're getting the hey, guys, yeah. Big deal.
Big deal, guys.
We're getting big deal alert.
Big deal.
We're getting the calm before the storm here, checking in with everybody before we head into the War of the Realms proper. I know you wanted to talk about this, right, Justin?
Well, I'm excited for the War of the Realms. What do you guys think of it? And Thor got his hat back recently.
Yeah, which is huge.
That's huge.
Yes.
He's a hat
head,
guy.
There was a big plot line, if you haven't been reading Thor, where Thor's head was very cold, and he's like, where's my hat?
Yeah, and it was like, I'll put this metal hat back on. It's like still cold.
Right.
Because
it absorbs the cold that gets on his head. And as we know, most of your body heat goes out of your head. So that was a big problem. And his mom, Freya, kept being like, put on your hat. And he wouldn't put on his hat. That was very stereotypical.
That was awful.
We're going to really sorry, everybody. Simpson over here.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, that was bad. I'm really sorry.
Wow.
Anyway, he has his hat.
You're not worthy anymore.
No,
that Mjolnir microphone you have is going to
I drop. Can't lift this comic book.
So what do you think is going to happen? Is he going to get the Mjolnir back?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. His mom made some really great points.
Moms are great.
Yeah.
Except for the mom that
Alex.
Good call.
Good call. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I thought it was kind of sweet the way she was talking about her son and his real power that he wields.
What I love about conversations like that in comics, they're like, no, your real power isn't the weapon you wield. It's the one inside of you. Yeah. And they're always like, wow, that's cool. And that's how they get their weapon back, which is how they win.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. You don't.
I'm just saying, whatever's inside of you doesn't fucking matter as long as you have a big hammer. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, that's not true. It's how you wield that hammer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's how you spin it
like
around
over
in
your
wrist.
Head and you hit things with it. Yeah. Right, Pete?
Yeah. Yeah, that's
high five.
It's like a weird. Yeah. You gotta watch how you raise your arm out like that. It's super.
What's wrong with this,
Alex? I gotta say, I think we need a guest. I know we're talking about this, but you seem like you're the sort of the CEO of this show when we're here, and you're about to lose that job. You're about to get scandalous.
You know what? The society has become too politically correct, and I'm done with it. All right. Wolverine Infinity Watch number 2. Yes. If you haven't been paying attention to this, Wolverine and Loki teaming up to track down the Infinity Stones. You're very excited because the first issue of the book, Pete, had a Infinity Gauntlet with Wolverine claws coming out of it.
Exactly.
That hasn't really happened to the book yet. How are you feeling about that so far?
Well, this is still a great book. Wolverine fighting a dude for a whole issue, which was fantastic. Also, I really liked the last panel because it really showed off his shortness and compared to Loki. So it was great.
Yeah, that's really the power Wolverine has, shortness.
Yeah, his mom said that, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
That's his real power.
Right.
It is funny. For those of you that don't know this, Pete doesn't like Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. The Wolverine that we all love as a culture. People can shit on the X-Men movies sometimes, but Hugh Jackman is always favorably reviewed. And you don't like him because he's too tall.
He's too tall for the part.
That's not...
He's a short guy.
Not a thing.
Yeah.
You'd rather have, I don't know, who's a short, Haley Joel Osment to play Wolverine. That would make more sense to you.
In movies, you can cheat height, and it would have been nice if you have Hugh Jackman, who's a great actor, but, just keep shooting down.
Oh, they should have hired taller actors to play the other characters.
Yeah, exactly. That would have worked for me.
What difference would it have made? There was no scene in any of the X-Men movies where it was like, well, I can get this from a high shelf. That never happened.
Well, let's be honest, in the next The Phoenix, honestly, the way these movies go, it could be about a thing on a shelf and we wouldn't even know. Yeah.
That's true. Get me the nice plates. And then she flips the fuck out and goes Dark
China.
Phoenix.
Yeah, exactly.
Really, what is your problem, though?
I growing up a very short kid, I related to Wolverine because he was also short. And it explained his rage and anger in a way that I could relate to.
Mm. But you have adamantium bones too. I feel like that's something that you would have. You have that in common with him. That'd be good.
Oh yeah, that's. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, that healing factor.
Yeah.
And you have no memory.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's true.
That's true. All right, let's move on to Uncanny X-Men number 14. Lots of X-Men in the stack. This is all your stack, right, Justin?
Yeah, it's the comic books I carry around in my bag everywhere I go.
Sweet. So Uncanny X-Men, Cyclops and Wolverine are putting the team back together. They are in the non-utopian world. They're in the regular world. And they're trying to figure out what's going on with the mutants and lack of mutants. What do you think about this book so far?
It's a little, everyone's in a bad mood, and that's fine if you're going through some stuff, which the X-Men always are, but I want somebody to be like fine, to be like having a
just
good
like
time.
A happy person,
or just like it's very bleak.
What the fuck is going on with Beast? Does he have legs?
That's Dark Beast.
Oh, okay, all right.
There's an alternate version of Beast called
Holy
Dark Beast
shit.
From the Age of Apocalypse. Who
yes.
He recently sort of became a half cyborg, half robot.
Right.
Changed his legs over and he doesn't sleep anymore.
He's got spider legs.
If you guys are worried about what Dark Beast is up to, he's still good at science, but he's bad at sleeping.
He's very good at having legs, though.
No, he's not very good at having legs.
No, he has multiple legs.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
That's good at having legs.
I guess. But they're robot legs. Are you good at having a phone?
So far.
Yeah. Great.
I like this book. I do like the darkness in it. I think the main thing that makes me very uncomfortable, this is a leftover from a book called New Mutants, Lost Souls, Dead Souls, whatever that miniseries was. And it ended with the New Mutants characters all being infected with this thing called the Transmode virus and turning into pseudo robots. So all of the New Mutants characters in this book are weird robot characters, and it's very upsetting.
Yeah, they don't have any emotions.
Right.
And that's, I agree with you.
Yeah.
It's also interesting because Danny Moonstar is in this book and also in the Utopia world, and she's the only character that's duplicated so far, so I'm very curious what that is about.
Yeah, Matthew Rosenberg, who wrote this, people keep pointing that out to him on Twitter, and he's like, that's not a mistake, guys.
Yeah, chill.
Chill out. All right, moving on to Lazarus Risen, number one from Image Comic Books. This is one of our favorite series here on the show. It's about a future dystopia?
Yeah. I guess that's true. Or maybe just our future.
Ooh.
Whoa. Think about it. Howard Schultz.
High five?
Nope. this is truly one of my favorite books. It's just been relaunched in this new format, which is magazine-esque, which is cool. It's a great book about these corporations run the whole world, and each of them has a sort of soldier that cannot be killed, basically, and about her life and all the shit she's going through. So it's a great story, great characters, really well told. Michael Arc does the art, beautiful. But the back matter is so good in this series. Greg Rucka talks about just comics in general, but also things that are happening in science and politics that are leading to this book becoming real life. And that, to me, you don't really see that in a comic book where it's like, hey, here's a story I've been telling for a couple of years. Here's how the world is making this story true. And that's really interesting to me.
Yeah.
It's also interesting because it's $8. So it's a lot more than a regular comic.
That is interesting.
But what I'm saying is, you're getting kind of what's nice about spending the $8 is you're getting kind of the origin of like how this book came to light, what, you know, the things that you had talked about. So it's kind of cool where it's worth it, where, you know, sometimes you're like, oh, I wonder how this whole thing got started. And what's great is you kind of get that in this.
It's like, even the back of Spider-Man, there was just a series of articles about like, here's radioactive spiders and where they are in New York, and watch out.
And watch out, yeah.
Because they're going to bite you.
Give us $4 extra dollars and we'll tell you about spiders.
That's a real offer from us.
Yeah. We need $4.
Last thing we're going to talk about, Batman number 67 from DC Comics. This is continuing the Nightmare storyline where Batman is literally trapped in a nightmare, going from place to place. Each issue, he encounters somebody new. This one, he encounters sort of an old-style mystery man vigilante who is chasing all over the city. It's mostly wordless. This issue is great.
It's very gorgeous, really well done, fun pacing. And it's cool because it's got like an old school Looney Tunes Roadrunner feel to it. And the bad guy keeps like honking a little horn and going like, beep, beep. And it reminds me of the meep, meep that the Roadrunner would do.
I thought that too. But then I realized, now that you say it, that the Roadrunner did say meep, meep.
Right.
And this says beep, beep.
Right. Yeah. We talked about this. We reviewed this book on our staff.
Are we hitting on a huge conspiracy theory?
No, we really aren't.
Is this a huge revelation we've just encountered? The difference between beep beep and meep beep?
No, so
because Porky Pig, the bartender, is in this. Beep beep and meep meep.
It is weird that at the very end, Batman says bidee bidee bidee. That's all, folks.
Yes, that is weird. Well, you know, Tom King did write the Porky Pig Batman crossover, and that is the bartender in this is Porky Pig.
Yeah.
The human version.
I don't think it's a Roadrunner thing. We talked about this one on our Stack podcast that rolls out.
Yeah, you tried to convince me of that then, and I still didn't.
Right. Well, I didn't have the issue in front of me at this point. Mm-hmm. At that point. This is beep beep. We're wondering what's going on.
Yeah, but Batman's chasing him around, and he's just going.
Yeah, I got to say, Alex, I think I agree with Pete completely on this. The name of the title
first time ever.
The title of this issue is The Long Way Down, which is what happens when the coyote is hovering over midair, and he looks down. All the way down, that's what I'm talking about.
Right.
And he has to go all the
way
down.
You don't think Batman's dying, and that's the cardiac heart monitor going in the background?
Oh, maybe. But is it meep meep?
Yeah, when your heart is,
yeah, when, yeah, your heart, meep, when your heart, when your heart goes,
yeah,
beep
beep. Yeah.
That could be, but also it, yeah, does.
I'm sorry, doctor. He painted a hole on the wall, yeah, and someone ran into it after the train went through.
Someone painted a hole in his heart, and it's horrible. But I did think that the Coyote and Roadrunner while I was reading this. So.
Justified.
In your face, Alex.
Suck it.
That's why all three of us.
And we really need a guest on the show. And that's it for the stack. Woo-hoo! All right, guys, we're going to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions.
Yeah.
For that, I'm going to come to you guys out here. All you have to do is ask a question for any of us about absolutely anything, yeah, and you're going to get some free comics. I saw this hand go up first. What is your name and what is your question?
My name is Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Now, among the three of you, Pete, we know what his buttons are.
Yes.
And
he's all buttons.
We've made them into running
all buttons.
No, we've made them into running gags through the show.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, Mike, I'm going to turn the tables. For you two, what are your comic buttons?
Comic book
buttons. What will
buttons
really just get you going?
Okay,
I think I can probably identify a button because I lost my shit a couple of years ago at Secret Wars. Was it zero or number one?
It was the first issue or the preview issue.
Yeah. I got super upset about that, and the reason I got super upset about it is because they had spent all of this marketing money and all of this build up, and they're like, guys, this is a chance for new readers to come on board these comics. We're so excited. This big, broad mainstream, we're going to put everything behind it. And you read it, and it was a Jonathan Hickman issue, and it was inscrutable. Like, there was it, unless you had read 60 issues of Fantastic Four, multiple issues of Avengers, every single thing that had been going on in the Marvel Universe, there was no way of understanding what was going on there. And that, to me, is infuriating. When comics essentially, like, hits itself in the head with that sort of thing, where it has a chance to be something that breaks through, to be something mainstream, and it completely loses that opportunity.
Yeah, you lost your. That was crazy how angry you were. Because it was a good issue. It was like fine. Like it was good. Like,
yeah. I remember we had, was it Fred Van Lente on that show? And I remember him looking at me like, I remember him being like, yo.
Yo, don't bring me into this conversation. I work there.
What about you?
I don't know. I guess the biggest thing that bothers me is when a comic book series is the anticipation. I mean, this is sort of in line with what you were saying. Oh, you have one?
I bother you.
You don't actually bother me.
Really?
No, I like you. I think I bother you.
That's
so
true.
You think that you bother me, but you don't bother me.
Oh, man, that's disappointing.
Pete, I love you. I love your cherry socks. And
thank you.
And yeah, I just think you need to chill out a little bit.
It's like that scene in Super Troopers, right, Pete?
Which scene?
The scene where he's like, you know, we both don't like each other. And the guy immediately is like, I like you.
Ooh. Oh,
it's
I just
good scene.
I just
nobody.
I have one. The thing that bothers me most in comics is when people bring up Super Troopers. I think that's the biggest thing that bothers me.
Yeah, sorry about that. What about Super Troopers 2?
Did anyone see Super Troopers 2?
Beer Fest?
Of course.
Anybody?
Good,
no? Beer Fest, the series on Tacoma, Crackle, probably.
Tacoma FD coming out soon on TV.
Check it out. Broken Lizard.
We're sort. Cool. Great. I don't. When something is falls flat in comics, when someone is like really trying hard and it just nosedives and someone makes like sort of the obvious choice or the choice where the safe choice. That's what really bothers me. I'm trying to think of a good example of that. How about Bendis's Superman run? Current Superman run to me is an example of that, where it's just like their anticipation was high. It felt like, hey, you have blue sky. You can tell any Superman story, and it feels like a whiff. And that lost opportunity bothers me the most.
All right, there you go. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question. You, sir, all the way in the back, come on up over here. And what is your name? What's your question?
I have two questions. Is that cool?
That's great. We have time. Right. You're our guest now, officially. Congratulations.
So the first question's for Pete.
Oh, now, boy.
You said that it bothers you when there's a lack of the superpower known as Napoleon Complex in a Wolverine character.
Well, that's not quite what I'm saying, but go ahead. Let's go with it.
How would you feel if Danzig played Wolverine?
That would be fucking badass.
because he's short yep. and he kind of has a Wolverine thing going on.
He does.
Interesting. And how much acting has Glenn Danzig done?
That's second. That's really
badass
that's very,
to start with.
Yeah,
that's,
exactly.
So he has so many qualities of Wolverine just in his life.
Exactly.
That you say he's
he could just be Wolverine, yeah.
He probably has claws already.
Yeah, that's a great... he certainly has musical claws.
yeah, he smashed yeah, the shit
that's
out
true.
Of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the second question is... I love Batman exploration, like the different ways you explore Batman in comics. Mm-hmm. So have you guys ever seen Batman of Zurgan R? And how do you guys feel about it if you have read that comic?
Batman of Zurgan R from the Infinite Crisis crossover that Grant Morrison did.
Final Crisis?
What's that?
Final Crisis?
Was it Final Crisis?
Yeah.
Final Crisis. He unearthed this comic from the, I want to say, late 60s, early 70s, Batman of Zurgan R, and sort of made that a whole thing in Final Crisis. Those issues were the ones where I was like, wait, why are you... It felt like Grant Morrison doing the thing where he's like, look what I found, this is weird, and calling it out and bringing it to the foreground, but never being like... He showed us a thing, but he didn't do a thing with it. So I love the idea of finding these old things and being like, can you believe this is in comics and this is real? It was like the stuff that was also in Final Crisis, I think, where Superman used to have the power to shoot a tiny Superman out of his hand. And so Grant Morrison weaved that into the storyline of Final Crisis, where a ton of tiny Supermen flew out of his hand. That I love as a, like using the past to the weird past to inform the sort of normal future or normal present of the comic books. But that, to me, felt like it was weird for weird's sake, and I don't know if it paid off.
Wait, the tiny Superman, did they fly back into his hand, or do they just disappear after a little while?
I think they flew out to do stuff, and I don't think they came back.
Yeah, no. They came out, and they married tiny Lois's.
Yeah. Aww.
It was very sweet.
Yeah. Had so great. Many other tiny little Superboys.
Yeah. Living their tiny lives.
Aww.
Yes.
That's cool. They're gonna end up playing Wolverine in Wolverine.
They should. You, sir, saw your hand shoot up. What's your name? What's your question?
All right, I'm John. I've got two questions. First one's for Pete. Did you really say Batman's chasing a vigilante in Gotham? Who's the bad guy?
Wait, what are we talking about?
Well, that Batman, he's chasing a vigilante, and apparently being a vigilante in Gotham is being a bad guy, according to you. I just think it's like... Kind of.
You calling me on my shit right now, bro?
Yeah, he's calling you a shit.
You calling me out in front of everybody,
John,
like this, bro?
John doesn't have
Joe,
a,
what,
John doesn't
what's
have
up,
a quiz. Man? John doesn't have a quiz to take, so he's trying to take you down a peg.
Yeah, what's up, man?
He's like, where's my money? Where's my prizes?
I'm just saying, like, Batman could be a bit reflective in that situation.
Wow. Audience piling on Pete. Audience as a unit piling on Pete.
Birthday lady getting feisty. All right, I mean, valid point, John. Valid point.
Oh, shit. Pete gives in.
I'm.
He could be a little more discerning.
Oh, wow. You're right. I mean, that's right. Oh, Batman. Okay. Let me be honest. Pete could be too. Okay. But you're saying, like, it's another vigilante. He should be like, hey, we're friends.
Well, at least give him a chance.
Wow.
Wow. I mean, he's not a Care Bear. You know what I mean? Like, he's a tough dude who... All right. Okay.
Unless
all
he
right.
is a
you know
Care Bear. Well,
good
let's
point,
just say
John.
This.
Good
if
point.
Another dude showed up right now wearing the same clothes as you,
yeah.
you wouldn't be a little like, hey, man, what's your deal? I'm here doing this. If another dude stood up right now and was like, I actually have a question for Pete, too, you'd be like, yo, dude, get off my jock. I'm trying to ask a question to Pete.
Actually, that did happen at a dog park, and my dog was following that guy around.
Oh! Wait, oh
I see. This
oh,
is coming.
Shit. That you're, had to yeah. feel awful, man. So your
yeah,
own
I was
dog.
Like, where's my dog? And then it's like, oh.
It went off with another dude?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's like the dog was your Robin. And your Robin went off with another
man.
Batman.
Oh.
Second question with Lazarus, like having that whole A to B to C, this is how we get into this comic world. What are your favorite examples in media of like writers doing their homework?
Ooh. Writers doing their homework.
Writers doing their homework. You know, this is maybe a weird example, but Squirrel Girl at Marvel Comics, Ryan North does an amazing job. All right, shut up. Ryan North does an amazing job of actually working in coding. He has a deep background in it. I love that book because most comic books, you know, you can read in like 5 to 10 minutes. Squirrel Girl, beyond being packed with jokes and packed with plot, has these little footnotes at the bottom of every page, and they have more jokes sometimes, but then they also have like, hey, that's a real coding fact, or that's a real math fact that I put in there, and explains them better. So there's, it's not every issue you feel like you're learning, but it really does show a depth of knowledge almost all of the time, which I think is great.
Yeah. Did you say in TV, or did you say in... All media. Okay,
great.
I mean, one is that made me think of Charles Soule on Daredevil using a lot of his law knowledge.
I was going to say She-Hulk, same thing.
Same thing, yeah, because he was a lawyer using that knowledge. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, do you have another one, Pete? I'm trying to think of another example in like another
medium. Yeah, in another medium. That's where I'm kind of...
What about Scott Snyder on Witches? He and Jock actually hide in trees and steal children all the time. So that panned out really well for the plot of the book.
That was
He told you that in private.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
No, actually, though, almost all of Scott Snyder's books, he has this habit of starting with like a dense story of a really interesting fact that you didn't know that is true. He is always showing his work in almost everything, which is consistent.
Consistent, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like this is not comic books at all, but the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel hires stand-up comedians to write the jokes for that show. Female stand-up
show
comedians.
Show's
very good, but to actually take people who've been through what Mrs. Maisel has been through and bring them to that show, I think is doing the homework.
Why is she so bad at stand-up then?
Fuck you.
Wow.
Sorry.
Harsh take.
She is.
No, she is.
She doesn't
not,
practice
sir.
Her routines.
No, she is.
She doesn't
not,
practice
sir.
Her routine. She goes up on stage and says whatever the fuck comes
and
to her
hilarious.
Mind. Unlike our show where we script everything out.
Wow.
Anyway,
the marvelous
thank you for your question.
Mr. Zalbin.
Do we have any other questions from the audience? Anything? No?
Okay. From
we have a couple of questions from our Patreon Slack that I can share with you
John,
guys.
John, did you want a stack of comics or a Aquaman keychain?
Wow, what a special treat for John. What a story we could follow is the relationship between John and Pete over the course of the last several months, culminating him obviously winning the Punisher quiz and then culminating with, hey, you want an Aquaman keychain? It's beautiful.
Hey, you gotta be nice to our Patreon supporters. You
no,
know
that's
mean?
Really nice. But you didn't offer the Aquaman keychain to anybody else.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I think that's there's some
I'm
sort
sorry.
Of favoritism.
I'm sorry, other
it.
People.
You just pulled out an Aquaman keychain. That's like a proposal. You just proposed to him, basically.
He has a wife.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Why are
right.
you trying
well,
to?
I don't know. I believe you, but I'm just. Right. I'm not saying you're not married, but I am saying he just proposed to you.
All right. Let's move over to these questions. So through patreon.com/comicbookclub, we do have a bunch of awesome supporters. We have a active Slack that people chat in all day long. We jump in whenever we can as well.
Yeah,
and we have
a lot, maybe.
Yeah, maybe too much.
No, not too much.
No?
I more? Wish I could be there more.
I do wish there I could be there more as well. So we have a questions box where some people drop some questions. We told folks that we're going to have some extra time today. So let's jump into it. This is from the 12 badge, question for all. This was actually answered by a couple of other people in the Slack. What's a story that is largely beloved for which you don't care? Example, I don't like Killing Joke. I read it every few years to see if maybe I got smarter or something, but it never clicks. And Infinity Gauntlet and Grant Morrison seems like an edgelord. What are comics?
Wow.
That really,
he's going through something.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
Kind of
what do you think he's going through? That's the big question I have to take with them. Now,
crisis.
is there a comic that everybody loves that you just do not get? Pete?
That I do not get.
I mean,
I'm
you
sure
get
there
all
is.
Comics. Yes.
I'm sure there is, but nothing that I...
want to admit right now.
I mean,
it's not that I want to admit that, like, that I'm... I don't know. I mean, you guys would know. You would... constantly make fun of me if there was something that
you don't get Archie comics.
Yeah, that's true. I don't.
Yeah.
They bother you.
Yeah, they bother me. Yep. Sure.
Yeah. What about you, Justin?
Major thing that I don't really get on with. I don't know. I like a lot of things.
Yeah. I would say, actually, Jonathan Hickman's Marvel stuff, apropos of what we were talking
about. Really?
Yeah, I like his writing. It's clearly very smart, but it doesn't engage me on an emotional level. Like, his Fantastic Four in particular, I was like, this is well-structured, that's doing nothing for me.
Oh, it was so good.
Just, well, this is what we're talking about, is thing that everybody loves that you don't get.
Yeah, you just don't get it.
Dude. I don't get it, man.
I also don't get Hickman.
Yeah. No, I know. You made that clear before. Yeah.
Okay.
This is from Stray Bullet. I want to know if anyone else is annoyed by Zack Snyder regarding his comments on Batman killing people in his movies. Batman doesn't kill. It's an essential part of the character, and he thinks people are just nitpicking the movies.
Who is out there watching Batman being like, man, I wish he murdered more? Like, that's what I don't get about this. Like, he's like, grow up is his whole take. And it's just like, okay, like, who are you talking to with this? And what are you trying to prove? Are you trying to prove that you're like ahead of the curve by being like, yeah, and then he kills him? To me, it's just like, I don't know. That's not, grown ups don't murder more. If that were true, our grandparents would be psychopaths.
I just think it's this push for quote unquote realism in comic book movies and stuff. And I don't need to see realism in comic book movies.
Also,
like, as long as... Hold on, sorry. No, it's fine. The only thing that I was going to say is, as long as the rules of the world are consistent, it doesn't matter. You know, that as long as, like, you decide, okay, Batman does not kill people, Batman does not use guns, you could certainly put him in a situation where it seems like he doesn't have a choice other than to use a gun or kill somebody, but the point of a Batman-type character is he figures out another way.
Exactly. It's like if you're watching a boxing match, you'd be like, that dude should pull out a gun and murder the other dude. It's like, no, you don't expect that. It's not like they're not being grown up by playing by the rules. It's
right.
Just the rules of the world they're in.
Yeah. But I'm sure they say that as they're like punching each other. Like, man, if I had a gun right now, you'd be in trouble.
You think that's what boxers are thinking? Like, oh, man, I wish I had a crowbar.
No, I think so. But if you like hit a gun in your boxing glove, you know, and you punch up, you do an uppercut, and you blast them in the face at the same time.
What is the
instant knockout?
Instant knockout.
Took a sharp turn. My point is, like, Zach, what's your deal? Like, you had Superman kill in your last movie. Like, that's not enough for you? That you still got a thirst to make other characters do the thing that they're not supposed to do?
I mean, I will say, to his point, in every single Batman movie, he probably has killed somebody. But I think that's
maybe a couple of them bled out. Maybe. You know?
Wow.
I mean, those batarangs, you know, I mean, they could have hit some vital organs.
Sure.
Who knows?
But that's the other thing about Batman is, we understand in the comic books, even if it's ridiculous, even if it doesn't make sense, that he could hit you with 100 batarangs, but they would never do any lasting damage to you. They would just incapacitate you, because that's how good he is.
He's that good.
Well, it used to be that batarangs just sort of bumped you, and now they definitely go into you.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and also in Batman v Superman, it was a Batman that's like, I'm going to fucking brand you with my batarangs.
Yeah.
Which is pretty intense.
Yeah.
All right. This is a question from Josh. When I was a kid, two of my favorite heroes were the Ray and Dr. Fate, primarily because they featured a bright canary-ish yellow in their costumes. Are there any characters you love to follow for similarly shallow reasons?
I like
there's
the
a couple
color,
more yeah, questions. Josh. I thought these were connected. They're not. The next one is, which Remender series do you think would be the best adaptation to the screen, which doesn't seem to connect it to the costume question?
No, I think it's a separate question.
Probably. Character you follow for super shallow reasons.
Shallow reasons.
Punisher.
Yep. Just shallow reasons.
Yeah. You know,
I like a good skull. No,
oh, yeah. That is sort of a creepy catchphrase that you have just as an ongoing
I like a good skull. We talked a lot about Punisher loved so deeply that he was broken and never healed, and that's why he kind of went on his mission. But
you think the Punisher loved his wife, who we don't really know much about, deeper than other people, huh?
He knew a lot about her.
He knew. I would assume that, yeah. But you think that he had a more intense love than any other character's love?
Well, I think that his family was his safety net. Like, he did horrible things in the war, but he got to come home to his family and feel safe and feel okay about the things he had to do to protect his family. And he loved that so much and them so much that when it was taken away, he was broken and it was never fixed again. Mm. But as far as shallow reasons, Wolverine, I liked him because he was short and angry. I don't know if that's shallow enough for you, Josh, but that's where I'm at.
It's pretty shallow.
I think that's good.
Okay. Yeah.
Obviously, we're talking about this song, Shallow, from
Yes, why do you like Star Is Born? It's because you can feel the love between Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. 100%.
I love that.
Completely on board with that. Which Remender series do you think would be best for an adaptation to the screen?
Fear Agent.
Fear Agent is very good. I mean, his stories are great. I mean, Tokyo Ghost would be very cool.
Oh, yeah. Remember that Low one? Also would be another one. Low is one.
Expensive.
expensive very movie. Expensive. It's set in a future where everybody lives underwater and the last dome that everybody is living in fails. So a family sets out on an epic journey to try to save humanity. That seems like a movie pitch to me.
Yeah. It's like smart Aquaman.
Fuck you.
This is from Eduardo. Are there any comics that you would not normally have picked up, which you read because one of the other hosts wanted to talk about it on the show, that you ended up, here's the twist, really enjoying? If so, what were they?
Ooh. Ice Cream Man.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
For me, definitely. I would never pick that up without you assholes.
Honestly, I read more Punisher because of you, Pete.
That's nice.
Worth it.
Not me. I am trying to think of a good comic that you guys have brought in.
Murder Falcon, probably, right?
I do like Murder Falcon,
yes!
All right. I don't go buy it, but when you bring it, which is every day, I do read it.
And we do have one more question from Eduardo. He asks, now that Arrow is ending, what show will the podcast not have time for? That's a great question, but we've actually run out of time for this section.
Yeah, yeah, we don't.
So thank you guys so much for your audience questions.
Yeah,
cool. Sorry, Eduardo.
All right. And now it is time for trivia, usually with Pete LePage.
That's right, usually.
But Pete didn't have time before the show.
Nope.
So I made some trivia. So I'm going to welcome you guys.
Holy shit, what?
Yeah, we're mixing everything up today.
Wow.
Who would like to...
Look, see, Alex. On. Alex is like, has lost his main seat here, so he's trying to take your shit, man.
Yeah, that's right.
No, you said you couldn't do it.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm helping out. Who would like to come up and do trivia? You're going to walk on stage, get $25. Literally, that's it. That's how it works. You, sir, come on
free,
up. Please. It is your birthday.
Wow,
do you want to come and do it?
That's really nice.
All right, come on down.
Wow.
All right,
wow.
Here we go.
Way to pass it off.
Wow, that's very so nice good. Of you, sir. Very nice of you.
I appreciate that. Please stand over here. Can one of you fine gentlemen give her a mic?
Okay, great.
Okay. What is your name?
Liwana.
All right. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet
okay,
you.
Here we go. You ready? So I'm going to give you three answers. You tell me which one is right. Gift card yours? Yeah, the right, Pete?
Okay,
here we go.
Hey, Alex, and let me just say congratulations on being the star of trivia.
Thank you so much.
You're really filling the role. You've been the understudy for a long time.
Yeah. Now, you're a classically trained actor. How do I find my light here? Is this is this over?
Yes, you want to just step into it and then assume the role.
Great. Okay, here we go. I am the star of trivia, and here are three trivia questions for you. The theme for this trivia, I did forget, normally the third answer has a theme, a sub-quiz, if you will. Sorry, Kevin, we don't have that this time.
Because
I'm doing it. It's big shoes to fill. I really fucked this one up. But we do have a theme. This is all about the character Batman. He is a character who dresses a bat. This is some questions about him. Okay, the first question is, does Batman... kill anyone in the comic Dark Knight Returns? A, no. B, no, of course not. Or C, he shoots off panel to prove a point about not using guns, but never kills the thug. And you know because the list of charges the new commissioner reads off against him don't include murder, so stop being idiots, all of you.
Oh, you don't just tell me the answer like Pete does.
No, major.
No.
Also, any of them are correct. So.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Let's see.
Oh, yeah,
nice.
There we go. The answer is C. Okay.
Great
right, here we
choice.
Go.
All right, how do you feel on the sidelines? Sorry, no. How do you feel on the sidelines here, Pete?
Yeah, it doesn't feel good, Pete? Okay, there we go. All right, second question. Why does Batman use a gun in Final Crisis then? I mean, come on. A, because he's a cold-blooded killer. B, because he loves guns. C, because it's the final Batman story, and when he picks up the gun and shoots Darkseid, he dies because he failed even as he won, you goddamn idiots. Which one is it?
Wow. This is
really C. aggressive.
Yeah.
C is correct. Okay.
Nice job.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Here's the third and final question. If you get this one, the gift card is going to be yours. Third question is, okay, but what about every Batman movie? He kills people there, right? Yeah, they're all a fundamental misunderstanding of the character.
Wow.
Yeah, the Batman movies just aren't very good.
All right, there you go. Correct. Gift card's yours.
That is correct.
Amazing.
Thank you so much. Happy birthday.
Did you guess the fucking pattern there, Pete?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Turns out I'm not the only psycho on the show.
Yeah, really. That's what an axe to grind. Alex coming out swinging.
I'm sorry. That discussion pissed me off.
You know what? It's like the role of Joker, which they say drives people crazy. Yeah, maybe the role of trivia on this show drives people crazy.
I have been keeping a diary about it for the past week.
Oh, cool. I look forward to reading those passages.
Yes. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Murder Falcon and the Punisher.
Are they coming out?
Eventually.
What
tomorrow?
Does that mean?
Not tomorrow, probably not.
Oh, wait, did you not?
No, I didn't look, yeah.
Great. I'm looking forward to the new issue of Ice Cream Man is coming out tomorrow. We'll be talking about that on our Stack podcast.
Nice plug.
Thank you. One of our absolute favorite books on the show. It's very creepy, very creative. The art is absolutely gorgeous. It's been slowly unfolding the world of this crypt keeper-like ice cream man who keeps sucking people into horrifying, terrifying situations. Absolutely fantastic book. Justin, what about you?
Detective Comics 1000 comes out tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to that. It's a collection of a bunch of different stories featuring all the top Batman writers and artists. It's I'm excited to see what everyone's got.
All right, a couple of things before we go. If you would like to support this podcast and other podcasts we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. As mentioned, we have a very active Slack, which is awesome. A bunch of other bonuses you can check out there as well. Also, we do a bunch more podcasts. We do a Riverdale podcast called Riverdale After Dark that runs every week after the show. We have an American Gods podcast called American Godcast that runs in its own feed.
And a cipher quiz.
What?
What?
What'd you say?
I didn't mention a secret cipher quiz that
you had. Oh, I don't know. Maybe there is a secret.
Yeah, we're trying to unlock the cipher.
Oh, yes. For the past couple of months, we've had a secret Punisher quiz. There may or may not be another quiz. We'll see what happens.
And there's a phrase that unlocks it.
Yeah, maybe.
A phrase like, I'd like to take the cipher.
That would be dumb and easy. No.
Okay. Oh, wow. Interesting takedown. Yeah. Is it just...
it hurt. Yeah, it hurt.
Is it just saying, I want to take the quiz in like a dumb language?
Yeah.
Great. Well, okay. That's a real gotcha question.
Latin.
Oh, what?
Oh, sorry.
Binary code is also stupid.
What else do you want to plug, Pete?
Oh, friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
It's been a real pleasure to be here. I feel like I didn't get to talk about my ongoing projects.
Yeah, if you want to plug any of your stuff, that would be great.
I do a podcast called Comic Book Club. Please definitely check that out. You can follow me on Twitter at Comic Book Live, obviously.
Yeah, can we check out your podcast at comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more?
That would be great. Thank you.
All right, a couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Justin for being on the show.
We want to thank Pete for being on the show. And that's it. No, that's it. That's it. That's it.
We want to thank Boothman Prime.
Booth Man Prime.
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Good night, guys.
Everybody.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.